Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father Noah Buscelli.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen.
He is.
Al Messiah come. Christos Anesti. Christos vos Christ. Christos tensa imutan. This is the day which the Lord has made. This is the beautiful feast of St. Thomas, Thomas Sunday. And it marks the close of the bright week. The weather has cooperated with that. It was nice and bright until the middle of the night. Hopefully the rain will stop and we can go to the cemetery. Thomas gets a bad rap because he is the one who doubted. But the services say, "Oh, blessed doubt." And I'd like to consider this Thomas's life, today's feast, a feast of faith, a feast of hope, and a feast of love. Faith is dynamic. That means it waxes and wanes, it grows and it shrinks. It's a relationship between our Lord and ourselves in the company of the saints. And it's a mistake to consider that faith should be static, that trials will not test us, that we will hum along our whole life with the faith, the pure, sweet faith of a kindergartner. And this feast of St. Thomas's doubting, his probing, is the feast that faith is proof. I've been chewing on this idea for a while. St. Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. St. Paul rejoiced when he suffered, and somehow, I have no idea what to make of this idea, somehow his sufferings in his flesh fill up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions. But I know how to start making sense of that. It's because the people in our lives, including ourselves, we cannot go to Christ and say, "Open up your palm and let me put my finger in the wound. Pull up your shirt and let me put my hand in the lance wound." Our modern world cries for proof, having mistaken science for scientism. Our modern world cries for proof, and we can be that proof. The saints are that proof. Again, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was all sufficient, except it was in a particular time and a particular place, a time and place that we are not. And yet we can be wounded by love for him. And in that wound, we are part of his wounded body. And we can humble ourselves as he humbled himself to let Thomas probe him. We can humble ourselves. We don't want to have a pity party, of course, but we can be vulnerable. And our wounded love for Christ, our wounded love for everyone in our lives, are putting ourselves not first, not second, but third. That is proof. Just like a weeping icon, just like a miracle, just like an incorrupt body of a saint. It's proof. Somebody can experience that and be changed by it, just like Thomas's doubt was changed to faith. So what can we do in our lives, brothers and sisters, to fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ and to rejoice, to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Christ? So that is faith. It's not static. It's dynamic. If it's static, that means we're dead. If it's dynamic, that means we're alive. So hope. What drove all the apostles to the ends of the earth? What drove Thomas, the doubter, to India with the gospel? It was hope. Of course, it was faith and hope and love. The three can't be separated. But it was hope. And this is what St. Paul says about hope. In the end of his 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the great chapter on the resurrection, please read it if you haven't read it recently. The last verse, he says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We will be wounded when we are trying to be steadfast. We will be wounded when we're being immovable. And we will be wounded when we're abounding in the work of the Lord. But we don't care. We rejoice because hope overshadows the pain. Hope overshadows the betrayal. Hope overshadows death. Because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Perhaps you have a hopeless situation in your life. I'm ready to give up on this person, on this community, on this idea. Don't give up. Hand it to God and say, "Lord, I know my labor is not in vain. I may be wounded. I may have a wavering hope. But I will trust you." There's a beautiful story of little episode of hope I want to share with you. This is from the wonderful novel Laurus, Laurus, translated from Russian a couple years ago. If you're over 18, I think you should read it. If you're under 18, you should wait, because it's a little bit racy. But at one point, this fool for Christ is living in his shack next to the cemetery at the monastery. And a notorious robber, who this fool for Christ had dealings with before, he went to dig up the body of the mayor's daughter because he heard that they put a lot of jewelry on her in her burial. And this fool for Christ was in his little shack at the edge of the cemetery. And he spoke, "Stop it," as the man was digging. And the guy thought God was talking to him. He didn't see anybody. "Are you God? Are you an angel? Stop opening the grave. You're a terrible robber, I know. But now you're, I'm trying to remember exactly how I said it, it was beautiful. If you dig as deep as your chest, I promise you, you will never get out of the grave. You'll be buried there with her." And he said, "Well, what should I do?" He said, "Go to confession and go to communion and change your life." And then he said, "But for a start, fill the grave back in before you leave." There is hope for this terrible man. And there is hope for the people in our lives that have hurt us. And there is hope for us. The last of the virtues that drives the apostles, that drives Thomas, is love. And we saw this beautiful love in the gospel, in the epistle reading, the Acts of the Apostles. They were thrown into jail because their work was going well. Their work was going well, and therefore the authorities were upset with them and threw them into the common prison. This is Acts chapter 5. But their love for God kept them strong. And God's love for them got them out. An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life." So, brothers and sisters, we can live by fear. We can live by wanting proof. We can live by paralysis. We can live by gluttony and greed and lust and anger and sadness and depression and vanity and pride. Or we can live by faith and hope and love. We have everything we need for that. Will we pick it up? Our Lord has opened his side to us in the beautiful people in our lives, in the Eucharist, in the lives of the saints, in the scriptures. Are we too proud to say, "Lord, I believe, but I..." O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, the wisdom, word, and power of God, trampler of death, through the prayers of St. Thomas, through the prayers of St. Paul, by the protection of your Holy Mother, fill us with faith unashamed, hope unwavering, and love unfeigned, that we will glorify your holy name with your Father and Holy Spirit, today, all the days of our life, and unto ages of ages. Amen.